In today's khutbah, I would like to talk about the meaning of what it means to be a Muslim, or the term Islam itself. People look at it in a different way. Some people think this is just an idea and a philosophy. Others say, no, this is actually a plan of action. And sometimes we get into, you know, very interesting contradictions. When you have somebody, for example, who publicly says, I'm a Muslim atheist, or an atheist Muslim. You know, they have a book, actually, with that title. And so basically they define something known as a cultural Muslim, somebody who doesn't really believe in the idea and the philosophy, and does not necessarily practice, but mingles with the community at certain level. Although there is a contradiction when you say you are an atheist Muslim, you know, you can't be a Muslim and be atheist. But anyway, you know, this is the confusions of the modern days. You know, one of the most interesting way of defining Islam can be seen in the words of somebody who was raised by the Prophet himself. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wa salam. In a statement which is there in Nahj al-Balagha, and even before that in Usul al-Kafi and other sources, where Amir al-Mu'mineen actually starts with a very strong statement where he says, لَأَنْسُبَنَّ الْإِسْلَامِ نِسْبَةً لَمْ يَنْسُبُهُ أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي وَلَا يَنْسُبُهُ أَحَدٌ بَعْدِي. I will define for you Islam in such a way that nobody has defined it in this way before me, and no one will be able to define it after me, إِلَّا بِمِثْلِ ذَلِكَ, except similar to what I'm saying now. And this is where, you know, he begins the statement where he says, there are stages to this. إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامِ هُوَ التَّسْلِيمِ. Verily, Islam is submission. Now, we're talking about the very early stages here. This is the initial stage when a person is intellectually engaging himself or herself with this idea of Allah and Rasul and the Quran and whatever comes with the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet. And so this is a level where a person actually intellectually engages with the idea, and in his mind he accepts that, submits to it. والتسليم هو اليقين. When a person on an intellectual level has submitted, then this actually creates, والتسليم هو اليقين, creates conviction. The impact would be that now the idea which has been accepted by the mind on an intellectual level, then it has a manifestation on the level of the heart. And we are not talking about this physical heart here, spiritual heart, where, you know, yaqeen comes in. And this is where we see, for example, in Surah Hujarat, Surah Al-Hujarat, which is Surah number 49, where some of the Bedouins who had come to Medina because they had, you know, problem with their food supply, somebody told them that, you know, there is a person in Medina with a new religion. He has this concept of giving in charity. You just go and accept his religion and your problem would be solved. So they came with that intention, and they came to Medina, they came to the Prophet, and they said, Amanna. We have believed. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, revealed this ayat, where he says, you know, قَالَتْ الْعَرَابِ آمَنَّا. These Bedouins are saying, آمَنَّا. You know, say to them, لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. You don't have iman. قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. You can only say, we have verbally submitted to your religion. And so they are different levels. There is where then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانِ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Iman has not entered your hearts. So there is a different level, intellectual level, verbal, and the level of the heart. And so this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says that once you are, you know, intellectually convinced, this is where you have now this, you're submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This creates yaqeen on the level of the heart. وَالْيَقِينْ هُوَ التَّصْدِيقِ. And when you have yaqeen and conviction in your heart, then your heart actually now basically affirms the truth. And when the heart is affirmed the truth, والتصديق هو الإقرار, then that affirmation in the heart will come out in your words on the level of the tongue. Very different from the process of the Bedouins who started with their verbal declaration. Where Allah says Iman has not yet reached. Here it is a different process. Once the yaqeen is there, then a person, when he or she says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that is a different level of iqrar. والتصديق هو الإقرار. And when it comes to the verbal, acknowledgement, so Amir al-Mu'min is moving from the mind to the heart, to the tongue. Then he says, once he has accepted it by your words, والإقرار هو العدا, then it means you reach to the stage of fulfillment of your duties. And so once you have accepted it, then it must show in action. You know, you can't just say, I believe, I have yaqeen, but then no actions. Because Islam is a tree which has fruits. And the fruits of Islam as a tree is amal. If there is no amal, then it means there is some, you know, problem with the tree itself. It is, the roots are, you know, rotten or dying out or something. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "Wal ada huwa al amal." And this whole issue of fulfillment of duties means you have to act according to the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed on you. And so it's very beautifully that Amir al-Mu'mineen starts with Islam, wat taslim and yaqeen and tasdeeq and iqrar, and then ada, and ending with amal. And this is where we do realize that sometimes we think that Islam is just an idea, it's just a culture that I was born into. No. We actually have to think about it. You know, we have to develop that level of Islam, which is on the intellectual level, coming onto the spiritual level, manifesting in our actions and our deeds. And that is the true meaning of Islam, as, you know, explained by the Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhim salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us among the true followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi ajma'in, inshaAllah. Inna ahsan al-hadith kitabullah al-aziz, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa la'asr, inna l-insana la fi khusr, illa al-ladhina amanu wa'amilu al-salihat wa tawasu bil-haqqi wa tawasu bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الضعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعم ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم There is a term related to this definition of Islam that I presented from Amir al-Mu'mineen, starting with Islam is taslim and ending with ada and amal. Action is part of being a true Muslim. Among the extremists of the Sufis, there is a concept where they talk about three levels of development. One is the shari'at, the second is tariqat, and the other is haqiqat. Shari'at is considered to be the beginner's level of spiritual development, and this is where you are imposed with the laws of the sharia. Once you start working on it, they say gradually you move on the path. This is where tariqat starts. Once you start moving on that tariq and their path, eventually you reach to the destination, which is haqiqat, the ultimate truth. And then they say, once you reach to the destination and haqiqat, then shari'at doesn't apply anymore. You become free. And mashallah, you know, many of them very fast reach to that point. You know, and this is where we have to realize, of course, you know, our spiritual masters in the Shia, you know, among the Shia ulama, have also used these words, shari'at, tariqat, and haqiqat, but they have modified it, taken away this negativity about, you know, sharia no more being applicable at all. No, this is, you know, you cannot run away from Islam, you know, and say that, you know, I am a Muslim, but amal doesn't apply on me, or sharia doesn't apply on me. You know, I say many times that even the Prophet, till the last day, abided by the sharia. Even though he was not feeling well, couldn't even walk from his house to the masjid, which is just in the, you know, next door. You know, when he realized somebody else is leading the namaz, he comes with one hand on the shoulder of Ali and other on the shoulder of Fadl bin Abbas. You know, with their help, he comes to the masjid in order to, you know, take his rightful place there. And this is where we see that the Prophet, till the last moment, is still abiding by the sharia. And they are talking about this issue of, you know, once you go through the sharia, this is the beginning stage, and then you are on the tariqat, you are at the intermediary level, and then you graduate by the time you reach to haqiqat. You know, this is no basis when you talk about reaching to the haqiqat minus the sharia. If you look at the lives of the imams, they followed the sharia till the last moment. Yes, we had to realize that there are different levels of Islam, there are different levels of iman, there are different levels of taqwa, there are different levels of amal salih. You know, we are talking about Islam, the level of iman, the level of good deeds, the level of righteousness. They have, you know, we hear about 10 levels, but it's actually just a figurative number, which means that the struggle has to be constant. And it doesn't mean that, you know, once you reach to the 10th level, you know, the sharia is no more applicable to you. You have a blank check now to do whatever you want because you have this, you know, guaranteed space in the Jannah. There is nothing like that. You know, you look at the issue of ibadat, for example. When we talk about worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'minin again describes the different levels, where he says, إِنَّ قَوْمًا عَبَدُ اللَّهَ رَغْبَةً. They are people who worship. You know, their motivation to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for this desire of reaching to the heaven, to get the Jannah. فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةُ التُّجَّارِ. Ali says, you know, this is the worship of those who are merchants. It doesn't mean it is wrong. It is not that it is batil and it will not be accepted. Amir al-Mu'mineen is only talking about the levels, and the levels depend on the niyat and the motivation there. Then he says, وَإِنَّ قَوْمَنَ عَبَدُ اللَّهَ رَحْبَةً. Then there is another group which worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of fear. Fear of Jahannam. They are not really concerned about Jannat. They are more, I don't want to be in the Jahannam. And Ali says, that is فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةُ الْعَبِيدِ. This is the worship of the slave who does things so that he will not be punished by the master. And then he says, وَإِنَّ قَوْمًا عَبَدُ اللَّهَ شُكْرًا. Then there is a third group. Worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not because of this low or the desire for Jannah or the fear of the Jahannam. They do it out of the sense of gratitude. Shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creating us, to give it, for giving us all the things. فَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةُ الْأَحْرَارُ. Ali says that is actually the worship of those who are true people, who are not in the chains of this desire or the fear. وَهِيَ أَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةُ. And he says that is the best kind of ibadah. You know, some of our speakers again say, you know, the first two categories, their ibadah is batil. No, there's nothing like that. Ali says the third category is أَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةُ. It is the best of the ibadah. It doesn't mean those who do it out of, you know, love for Jannah or fear for Jahannam, their ibadah is in vain or batil. No. It's just the level of darajat of those who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, of course, when it comes to himself, he says, Allahumma inni ma abadtuka. Ali says that, oh Allah, I have not worshipped you. Khawfan min narik, because of the fear of Jahannam. وَلَا تَمْعَنْ فِي جَنَّتِكَ. Neither in you know, desire for Jannah. لَكِنِّي عَبَدْتُكَ. But I worshipped you لِأَنَّكَ أَهْلًا لِذَلِكَ. Because you are worthy of being worshipped. That is the worship on the level of law and ma'rifat and knowing the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, you know, this is how we look at the example of the Prophet and the Imams. And this is where we have to realize that there are levels and we have to constantly work, you know, to bring ourselves closer to the expectation that the Aimma of Ahlul Bayt have from us. You know, let me just end with some of these people who sometimes use the love of Ahlul Bayt, the way Sufis in the extreme form talk about it. Once you have the love, it doesn't matter you do this or you don't do that. Whether you do the wajibat or you do the you don't do the wajibat or don't refrain from muharramat, as long as you have the law, you are okay. The question is this law a true law? You know, because when we look at the example of Rasulullah and mentioned till the last, you know, days, look at Ali. You know, the symbolism in his life is so powerful that somebody who was born in the house of God, the house of worship, and he was fatally attacked in the house of worship. And he actually lived in Medina in a house which was opening into the masjid. So somebody who was born and was killed and lived in the masjid, you don't tell me that you can be the follower of Ali and you are free from the obligation of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you are the true follower of Ali, this is the path that you have to follow. And we see that even in the example of Hussein ibn Ali on the day of Ashura. And so there is not a single example where the Imams would ever say to you that once you have this vila and law, don't worry about what you are doing. No, if there is true love, there has to be an attempt. Nobody is perfect. But at least the effort has to be there to show that we follow the message brought by the Prophet and preserved by the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen wa Shafi al-Mudhunabin Nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها، وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما أحيا صار البدء والطغيان هادم أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فرو البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.